Last week, we heard how easily poverty can lead to homelessness for the 3 million Australians who live below the poverty line. And a big part of that figure is older women over the age of 55 who are living rough on the streets, in cars or couch surfing because they've been forced by circumstance to leave their own homes. Eight of those women are determined to bring their experience into the public eye. They're the writers and collaborators in a new project called Unhoused. And Michael McKenzie was invited into their last week of rehearsals. And a warning, there's confronting issues around domestic and sexual violence in this story, and you'll also hear moments of strong language. This is not a story for the younger people in your family.
Some say I've got devil. Some say I've got angel, but I'm just this girl in trouble. I don't think I'm in danger, don't think I'm in danger. No, I know I'm not in danger.
I'm walking into the nave of a 160-year-old Anglican church in the heart of St Kilda in Melbourne. Dappled light from stained glass bleeds over the empty pews. But near the public entrance, beyond the pews, the cast of Unhoused are sitting in a pre-arranged block of chairs. Their bare toes are embedded in small piles of sand. They are earthed.
What I want the audience to have is an experience of these women's homelessness. So we're not telling them, you know, via just text. It's not verbatim. It's not the usual, you know, narrative storytelling. Not at all.
When you start thinking your whole day is, am I going to have enough money for toilet paper? I mean, and that's a big thing. There's a part in the show about that, about how you count the toilet paper. And where are you going to eat? Your day is consumed by that. And do I have a place to live, or is it going to be safe? Or where's the next food van so I can get food because I don't have money for food?
I am homeless. Totally park bench dead on, thank God for the salvos. Homeless.
Hi, my name is Maria Bourdonis, and I'm a cast member of Unhoused.
Alone, without belief, my life will be unbelievable.
I'm originally from the U.S. Yeah, I've lived here 44 years, so.
I am a woman of the streets, where the pulse of life vibrates with an alarm and wonder all its own.
I was homeless for about 3 years in my late 50s. I was a grandmother when I was homeless. I had to move interstate because of domestic violence issues and had to get away. And I worked my way down to St. Kilda, where there is a lot of services.
I've fallen in love. I've fallen out of love. I've cried myself to sleep, been assaulted 3 times.
And this is not an uncommon story because of having to escape from domestic violence in the family home.
Yes, and I went into emergency housing. The first one offered was a men's rooming house for perpetrators of domestic violence. And I had been there, I had to go there twice. And I was told to stay in my room, don't come out. You can use the shared bathroom, but it was awful, so you don't really leave there. But most of the rooming houses that I had traveled in between with, they were all men.
Were you the only woman in that rooming house?
Yes, yes.
And they were aware when they placed you there that that was the situation?
Yes, yes, yes.
And why did they so choose to put you there?
They said because there's no housing for women. There's a shortage of housing for women. So that was my experience besides sleeping rough.
I am Deborah Lisa Moore. I'm the director of this piece of Unhoused.
So how many of the eight women in the cast have brought their lived experiences to what you've theatricalised, if you like?
All of them. It's actually their stories. They are the writers. It's all about these particular women. The piece isn't about characters, external characters, someone playing someone. No. The importance of this piece is these particular eight women performing their stories. It's them. And they are real. It's them. We see them. And that's what I'm hoping through this piece, that we see them.
My name's Karen Corbett, and I'm one of the originators of the project. And I've also experienced homelessness. I was a couch surfer. I had a couple of caravans. I lived in a boys' boarding school when the boys weren't there.
And how much time were you living like that?
While I was pregnant.
So I take it that a relationship hadn't continued and you were by yourself?
You could put it that way. That's one way of looking at it. Another way of looking at it is that I was running from a room that I was never going to go back to. And I didn't consider myself homeless. I just knew I couldn't go back to that room. And there was nowhere else to go.
So there's a lot of times in the work where nothing's being said, but a lot is being said in terms of what they're doing.
It kind of makes sense, because when you are homeless, I would imagine there's a lot of alone time when there's a lot of silence, or at least natural sound around you, while you're within yourself.
Oh, absolutely. A lot of them have lived in cars, which is a problem of women's homelessness. But there's a moment where everyone's looking at this one woman just making her dinner, sitting by herself with her car. It's really lonely. Or going to the shower, all those everyday actions that we take for granted, they are difficult.
In that time that you were classified as homeless, what were some of the day-to-day things that have found their way into this piece that you're performing?
Well, I kept a journal, if you could, because sometimes you don't have all those things with you, or you might be able to sneak into a lot, well, not sneak, you get to go to the library and hopefully there's a 15-minute space on a computer if you want to put something in there. But I was just writing down my thoughts, and it was about how forlorn you feel and how alone you feel and how unsafe you are, and all the time fighting whether, you know, is it safer to sleep under a streetlight or in a doorway, you know, where there's no light.
Should you be visible or invisible?
Yeah, that's correct. And
what did you find out?
Oh, it was six of this and half a dozen of the other. Because you can be assaulted anywhere. And that happened to me. I know in the piece I mentioned a number three, but it was more than three times.
How were you deriving enough income to keep yourself alive?
Oh, well.
You answer this as any way you like. This okay. Is completely up to you.
Well, sometimes you would try for to get on the dole. But you don't have any stable address anywhere. So you can't, if you don't have an address, they can't help you. And I must have to say that I supplemented by working on the street, and which was, a learning experience. So that's where, in part of the piece, it's talking about working girls and how hard they work. I, honest to goodness, you work really, really hard. But it's still not really enough to get by. You're just getting by. Well, for me anyway, I was getting by to make sure that I had money for the rent, money for food. And so it's more of a day-by-day kind of thing. And which is an experience for a lot of people that are homeless. Because of the problems with domestic violence and everything, I had self-medicated and I had started drinking. So that was another issue that I had to overcome. And then being on the street, you get introduced to drugs. And so you kind of fall into that without really wanting to, I don't. And which is a shame, but I'm okay now.
So, for the first time in your life, I take it, you were finding yourself selling yourself for sex to make money. At the over the age of 50?
Well, I said I was 47, but... No, but, you know, in some ways, in a marriage that doesn't go well or in a relationship, you're kind of doing that already sometimes. You know, you're trading sex for, okay, well, don't ask me about this, what I bought or something like. So it, in some ways, it wasn't a far reach.
But, of course, you were meeting people who you'd never met before in your life who could do you harm.
Well, yes, and I was harmed and assaulted and you get raped. And that's a scary thought. But what you do, there's no money, there's no jobs for people. I couldn't get a job at my age. No one would give me a job. You know, if I had a job maybe as a cleaner, but they're still not going to hire you old as a cleaner. And I'm not afraid of work either, because I've worked all my life from the time I was 16. So, yeah.
Bloody dog kickers.
Face punchers.
Sharing toilets.
No toilets.
Trinitors.
Fucking cops that arrest me all the time.
Dodgy squats. Dirty knickers.
And drug dealers that rip you off.
I think Carla, one of the women who said, this is not a pity party, maybe it was Maria. Yeah, this pity porn, that was it. Pity porn, it's not. This is the sense of, yes, this is what's happened to us, and you need to know that as audience. We need to tell you in our different performance ways, we are here. Don't pity us, we are here. You need to know that.
You know, you'd get kids that would just come and beat you up on the street because you're on the corner. They throw hard-boiled eggs at you, just... Sorry, I'm getting emotional because I'm thinking of all these times and just that happening. Plus then you have to deal with the people that pick you up. And some are really nice. Some have really amazing stories. And some just have illnesses that make it hard for them to have a relationship with someone else. And so I met some really amazing people, but I met some really awful people. Some really awful people. So I'm glad I don't have to do that anymore.
These women now aren't homeless anymore. These women have found that they're inspiring. These women, I love them all, I have to say. They're strong. I've learned so much from them. And they're here. So we have on the streets. I'm possibly not here. I am here. Mm. I am here and see me. So it's really important, like the breath out, living on tenuous ground, but here I am.
And do you remember that first moment when you walked into that one bedroom flat?
Oh, it was just like, this is mine. It looks so big. And now I have my own bathroom. I have my own kitchenette. I have a bedroom that I have a bed and can fit a desk into, and my lounge room, and a TV. And my kids can come visit, and they do come visit, yes. I have a very happy ending, partly because I was able to receive services that I did get.
And yet there are people just like you who are perhaps women over the age of 55 listening to this right now, maybe, who have gone through what you've gone through and haven't yet found their way out. Yeah. What kind of advice can you pass on?
I think how I found help out of my predicament was to look for a service that fitted me. Not just a housing service I'm talking about, because there's no houses, there's no housing. They said, get used to living out of a backpack to me. That was so depressing. But services like your community health centers where you can get mental health services and all those sort of things. And then I think that's where you grow from there.
Many couch surf, many are living in cars, so they're not on the statistics. We need to bring this out. These women need to be acknowledged for who they are, how they've been living, and we need this story to be told to everybody. We need to see them wherever you are in the world, in the country. That's what I think.
I'm going to go now. Great. I've just recorded a little bit of you guys all chatting in the kitchen because apparently this is the hub of ideas right here.
This is the show.
Right here. Totally. Yeah, so that was perfect. Yeah, that's right. Chookers.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Of all the things that I have seen, can be hidden from a part of your dream. Gonna hide it from my strangest dream.
Unhoused runs from the 23rd of October to the 3rd of November at Theatre Works in Melbourne. And thank you to all the writers and performers for letting Michael McKenzie sit in on the rehearsals and on their lives. If this story has raised issues for you, there are various homelessness support agencies in every state and territory. We'll have links on our website. But if you're facing any kind of threat right now, please call 1-800-RESPECT. That's 1-800-737-732. 1-800-737-732.